about Dallas and make it hurt.
Hey, welcome back to the King Ragone Show on Bleed Network and the Draft Network. We're here with Andrew Dennis, big time Hurricane fan, Hurricane alumni, his family's Hurricane alumni, and owner of Ice Prep.
What up, Andrew? Thanks for joining the show today, bro.
What's up, man? It's really a pleasure to be here with two great Hurricanes, and I'm excited to talk with y'all and learn a little bit about what your plans are, and you guys can learn a little bit about me. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, sir. As you can see, Andrew is a big Hurricane fan, as everybody can see. So it's always love on that side. First of all, where are you from? Are you from Miami?
Yeah, so I was born in Miami in 1989. I have two older brothers, and my mom's side of the family is from Miami. We're all Hurricanes fans. My grandfather, my grandmother, my uncle, my cousins, my mom, you know. So I grew up a big Hurricanes fan. My father's from Philadelphia. He's actually went to University of Michigan. So when I was young, I moved from Miami to Philadelphia. That's where I grew up. So I was just always around football, whether it's Dolphins, Eagles, Hurricanes, Wolverines. But Hurricanes were always my favorite team. Because you got to remember, or you got to understand, for me, growing up, born in 89, the Hurricanes were the best. Like, when I was a kid, they were the best. When I was, like, in my teens, they were the best. So it was a big stunting on everyone to be living in Philly and being such a big Hurricanes fan. So yeah, man, I did my undergrad in New Orleans at Tulane University and then came back to Miami in 2012. I did my JD degree to get my law degree, like my uncle, my father, and my grandfather. And I also did my MBA. So I did a dual program and I've been in Miami ever since. So it's a hard place to leave.
Once you're there, it's super hard to leave. I know, trust me.
Yeah.
No, it makes me not want to leave at all.
Are you guys both leaving?
Well, I'm in Houston right now, and then I'll be going to Boston in a couple weeks. So
nice, man.
Yeah, no, I got a few years left. I'm graduating on the 13th, getting my bachelor's degree, and then I'm gonna get my master's here in at Miami as well, and continue to play football.
Yeah, well, the Dolphins need some players, so hopefully that'll end up working out. That's awesome, guys.
Now, I see in the background, you got all them degrees. Are those all yours?
Well, I got to give my grandfather credit. These are all my grandfather's. You know, he's a lawyer, a very talented lawyer in Florida. These three on the back are mine from my dual degree from University of Miami and then my undergrad degree from Tulane. My office is like kind of a mess right now, so I don't want to show you too much. But yeah, I have a lot of diplomas, big proponent of education and football. So that's why I wanted to come on the show. I thought it would be a good opportunity.
I know you told us that your uncle, your mom, your grandpa, they were all Hurricanes fans. You were telling us before about they graduated from Miami. Who all graduated from Miami?
Okay, so I have so many stories, man, but I'll try and keep it short. My grandparents were born in Miami, my grandfather and my grandmother, 1929. They both actually passed in the past few years, but they, best friends. My grandfather's my role model. My grandmother went to University of Miami. They went to Miami High, Miami High. That's what Grandma Nora used to call it, Miami. So they went to Miami High, and then my grandmother went to University of Miami. My grandfather went to University of Florida. And the story goes that my grandmother started dating another guy and my grandfather couldn't handle that. So he came back from University of Florida after 1 year and went to University of Miami. So both my grandparents went to University of Miami and then my grandfather went to University of Miami Law School. And he graduated summa cum laude in 1952. And this was an interesting time, you can imagine, because World War II is going on. Like, his classmates were mostly veterans from the Second World War. So he told me that when he was like 18, his classmates were like 22, 23. And my grandmother told me that when she went to University of Miami, they actually did their classes in converted army barracks. So you can imagine University of Miami looking a whole lot different back then. So my grandma went there, my grandfather went there, my grandfather went to the law school. And I was actually just looking at these diplomas today for some odd reason. And my grandfather says, Bachelor of Law. It wasn't even called a Juris Doctor back then. My uncles, I have my father's and mine, and I don't have my uncle's yet, but I told him when he when he leaves us, I'm going to get those diplomas. But it was just a joke. So, yeah, he had a Bachelor of Law. My grandfather was a very amazing person. He's known in South Florida as the first attorney to do condominium conversions, which means that at the time in South Florida, there was no such thing as condos. It was all hotels. But then, you know, they started realizing if we can convert these hotels to condos, we'll have more taxpayers, you know, boom, boom, boom. Now South Florida is like condo nation. So yeah. Grandfather started in like north of Fort Lauderdale, coming down to Miami, and did a whole bunch of condo conversions, like as the attorney. Big UM guy. My grandparents would go, they had season tickets to the Orange Bowl. My uncle went to University of Miami as well. He's the man. Love my uncle. He's still really, he lives here in Miami. Diehard Canes fan. We always get together and watch the games. My father went to University of Michigan undergrad. My mother went to Emory undergrad in Atlanta. It was actually just in Atlanta. I finally got to visit Atlanta. And then they both went to University of Miami Law School. That's where they met. My mother didn't end up becoming an attorney. She married my doofus of a father. But my dad graduated from UM Law School. And then, so my dad, really cool. I have the thing, like you can see in the window. So I told you my shit's messy, but I mean, my stuff is messy. But when I graduated from University of Miami Law School, my grandfather and my father, so my mother's father and my father, both joined me on stage with the robe and the hood because, you know, if they're alumni. So that was really cool to have my grandpa on the left of me, my father on the right of me. So we're big UM people. I went to Tulane undergrad, but like, trust me, when I was there, I was rooting for the Hurricanes. That's when we had Ja'Cory Harris, right?
Yep, Ja'Cory Harris.
Yeah.
And he started the season off like a Heisman candidate, you know? So yeah. I've been, the Hurricanes haven't been as good, but like, yeah. Man, you all know, you know. Yeah.
And Ja'Cory Harris, he was a really good player, and now he's actually a firefighter, so he's doing pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Awesome guy. I mean, he was from Northwestern, right?
Yeah,
that was the year when I'm getting old. The coach who ended up coaching in Florida, Randy Shannon.
Randy Shannon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, 10 years have gone by, right?
Yeah.
No, so I wanted to ask you, how did you get into like IBIS Prep? Like, you have your own company, tutoring service. Yeah, IBIS Prep. We've done ads for them and stuff. You know, how did you get into that? What made you want to start IBIS Prep?
Man, it's crazy. I had it's like the combination of the hustler spirit and kind of having my back against the wall and just being a creative and doing what I was meant to do. So to give you a little background, I graduated from law school. I'm working for my uncle. I got my JD MBA. Even when I was in law school, I'm not going to lie, and this is why I can relate so well to students, I was kind of depressed. You know, like my family, my brothers were going through some tough times. I was with a girl that I was like supposed to marry, but then, you know, things didn't work out. So like, I was just not having a good time. I really was pretty miserable in law school. So I figured like, I was also a really good test taker. And some lady, Sandy Abraham, I don't know if she's still there, gave a little speech about, oh, doing a dual degree and you could, you know, I don't know. I was like, all right, the main reason is I want to learn about stocks, which actually been cool. So I want to learn about stocks. I was like, all right, maybe I should go get my MBA. I just on a whim studied for the GMAT, did really well. I've always been a really good test taker. That's kind of like my superpower. So did really well on the GMAT. And then I did the dual program, graduated, working for my uncle at his law firm, super miserable, you know, just cause like everyone is really old and like law is like kind of boring. And you know, you could see me, I'm too like lively. Like I plan to follow both of my grandparents were attorneys. My father's father graduated from University of Pennsylvania School of Law. I come from a line of geniuses and really hardworking guys. So I'm going to follow their footsteps and be a great attorney one day. But I was miserable at the time. Like, I didn't want to do this. I didn't see myself doing this in the, you know, at 26 years old. So then long story. I went to New Orleans where I got offered a job as a CFO. What does it even stand for? Chief Financial Officer of a business. And they did staging and audio. Crazy world. If you know the artist G-Eazy, I actually went to Tulane when he went to Loyola. Never would have imagined in a million years this guy would become a successful person, but you know, power to him. So these people worked with him and other artists, and they did like staging, audio, design. It was called Raven, still called Raven, very successful company. But like, my grandparents weren't doing well. I moved to New Orleans. I had another girlfriend who also broke up with me. And I just like, it didn't work out. So I come back to Miami. So now here I am, I think it's 2017. And I'm like, all right, what do? I don't really want to go back into law yet. I don't have a job. I need to make money. Oh, I'm interested in stocks. So I became a financial planner. I, you know, started working at first Mass Mutual, selling life insurance, but using that as a way for me to get my securities license. So I had to pass the SIE Series 7, Series 66. So I passed all them. Now, as I was selling life insurance and getting my securities licenses, I was not making any money. Like, it's hard to sell people life insurance. You guys are going to get solicited for that a lot now. And, you know, I could talk to you about it if you want to know. But it's a hard thing to do. Like, hey, how's it going, Johnny? By the way, you might die one day. You know, I got this product. Yeah. So wasn't making much money. But, man, I'm very proud. Like, I didn't want to ask people for money, even though, like, you know, I know some people I probably could have asked. But I was like, I got to make money. So I did the thing that kind of came naturally to me, which was tutoring. Now, in 2013, when I was a law student, same situation. I've always been a hustler. I was like the first Uber driver in Miami. I like always did a job while I was in school because I had to make money and be able to. Like, if you guys follow me on Instagram, I like go to the Heat game and stuff. You know, I like to pay for things, so I have to make money. So, you know, in 2013, I also started this company called Ibis Prep, but it was like starting a company. You know, when you're in, I'm 23 years old. A friend of mine, and what we did was we tutored for the LSAT and the SAT. That's how it started. It was just like a side gig in law school, tutoring for the LSAT and the SAT. I was making a little bit of money, but it was just like side money. Then here I am. Now I'm like, it's like 4 or 5 years later. Told you I'm selling life insurance and getting my licenses, and I need to make money. I'm like, yo, this tutoring thing could be all right. So I started tutoring. I can't lie when I tell you, my first client was my cousin. I tutored for free for the SAT. And he got Florida Bright Future, so I'm proud about that. And then my second client was literally, and this is a good story for people going into business because now I'm kind of successful. But at the time, I was hustling. And I used to take the train, the tri-rail from here. I used to take the metro to the tri-rail from Coconut Grove to like Pompano Beach to teach this lady English for the TOEFL, the testing of English as a foreign language. But in my head, I knew that I was building something. I was like, I knew it. So I was like, it's worth it, getting clients. Like, that's the whole thing, hustling, getting clients. So I do that. I'm like building this business. And then it goes on where I'm actually a financial planner. I have my Series 7, my Series 66. I did it all. Like, I'm the man now, right? Now, here's another problem. Being a financial planner is harder than it sounds too, because there's a lot of them. And who wants to trust a 26-year-old kid with millions of dollars? You know, like, they want to trust a dude who's been doing it for years. So I was filing that. And I just always struggle with being like the setup man, you know? I didn't want to be the guy who introduced you to my rich friends so that you could get the bag off him. I didn't feel comfortable. So it kind of got bad for me. Like, I wasn't eating healthy. I was drinking, you know, whatever. And man, I ended up I was working this, like literally driving around to like schools, like hustling so hard to like be a financial advisor, wearing suit and tie, but being broke, kind of a crazy dichotomy. I ended up in the hospital with stomach ulcers. I'm like 29 years old right now. Yeah, and they said it was the biggest stomach ulcers they ever seen in someone under 30 years old. And I don't know, I guess I was kind of proud of that. But at first, they actually thought it was my heart because like I'm very active and I have a really slow heartbeat. So they brought me in there. They thought I was having heart conditions. They did the echo scan. Boom, boom, boom. Turns out I have stomach ulcers, which, by the way, they either have to go down your throat or up your – so don't do that.
I'll get that.
Yeah, I've had two endoscopies, so they suck. Your throat hurts afterwards. Anyway, I had the stomach ulcers, and I swear to you, I'm lying in that bed and I'm like, I don't know. I might have a heart condition. I might have stomach ulcers. I'm just like having a whole lot of thinking. Oh, this is why they said that the stomach ulcers were so bad that they want to do a biopsy because it might be stomach cancer. And like the way that people talk in hospitals, and my dog just went to the vet, so I just went through this, is so cryptic. Like, you think the worst. So I'm sitting there like, all right, this is the end. And I'm like, yo, Andrew, you always wanted to be a businessman. You always want to have a business. Like, if you make it out of this hellhole alive because they're feeding me the worst food in that hospital, you need to just go hard with your business, Ibis Prep. Like, it's a great business because there's no overhead. You know, I just tutor. So boom, I get out of the hospital and now I'm just tutoring. Then I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing LSAT. I'm doing Florida Bar. I'm doing SAT. I'm kind of like running my thing. By the way, this point, it's all live. Very, very little virtual. We're still pre-pandemic. So I'm like driving around, sitting in traffic. And then my brother, Russell, I have two older brothers. My brother who lives in Alaska, he says, yo, I have one trip down the Colorado River, which is down the Grand Canyon. And it's like a 3-week trip with no phones, no internet, no nothing. At this time, I finally had hired an assistant. Her name was Lulu. I've gone through some assistants. I'm a messy guy. I need some help. So I'd hired an assistant, Lulu, at this point. And I'm like, yo, Lulu, I got to go on this trip. And this is when I quit financial planning. I was with Northwestern at the time, but I'm like, I'm done with this. I got to go on this trip. Look, I have all these LSAT tutors. And I was also teaching the Series 7 at that time. And I was just moving along. So I was doing the LSAT and the Series 7. Those were my main businesses. And I'm like, yo, Lulu, I'm going on this trip. I got to hire people. You know, I'd hired one person before, Magdy. I don't want to just talk about it. It didn't work out. So I was very skeptical about hiring other people. But then I was like, yo, I got to hire these people. I'm going on the Colorado River. I'm not going to have the phone. I swear to you, I went on that trip thinking my business was going to be dead when I came back and I just have to resurrect it from the ground, which was fine. I come back and my man Travis, who's doing LSAT, and Jason, who's still with me to this day doing Series 7, not only were crushing it with the clients I gave them, they had like gotten more clients because, you know, like they were good at what they did. And then that just opened up my door. And so like that was like 2018. So then I'm humming along, you know, I'm like doing good. I'm hiring more people. I'm like, you know, trying to make my way. I'm in a lot of BNIs, business networking groups, like just trying to, you know, network, do whatever it takes. And then something crazy happened to my business about a year and 3/4 into being an LLC. So I think it's like 2020, COVID-19, the pandemic. That was the craziest thing because when it happened, boom, LSAT shut down, SAT shut down. The kids aren't in school. No one wants to learn. My business is done and kids are like afraid to like go out. Like everything was terrible. It was like a major moment of make or break for my business. And like I saw tutoring companies down the street closing down. And at this point I was working with Christina and we had an office at this point in Brickell, but we shut that down. We're like, oh, it's COVID-19. And I'm just like virtual. The day that Rudy Gobert got COVID, I announced on my social, we're going virtual, 100% virtual. So we did that. Now then that summer, we did our summer mentorship program where I started like teaching chess and cooking and arts and craft. Like I was just trying to do anything and everything. Now here we are. This is going to be our third summer mentorship program. So it's been a few years. I have 50 people on my staff. I have 5 bar prep tutors. We're like the best at Florida bar prep, like by far. I literally just got the phone. So I was a couple minutes late with someone who's joining my bar prep class where, man, I'm getting paid more than an attorney gets paid by the hour because I've become such a master of my craft and I've built a business with such a great team. And I've been really keen to tap into the University of Miami. Like the reason it's called Ibis Prep is because I love the Ibis. It's the local bird. I love the Hurricanes. Me and my grandfather used to, we used to bird watch together. It was something special for us. And as everyone knows, the Ibis is the last animal to leave when a hurricane comes and the first animal to return when the hurricane passes. So everyone, all the locals know when the Ibises are back, the Hurricanes pass. So like, it really does mean a lot to me. I actually fought for this name, Ibis Prep. When I first started putting up posters around University of Miami, they gave me a cease and desist letter. Now, to be fair, my logo was like orange. My bird was like standing up. Like it was kind of, you know, and then I snapped on him. I was like, no, like, I need this. And I love the Ibis. They're like, all right, you got to change the color and the bird has to be flying. But, so we've been like that ever since. And when I saw the opportunity, now that I've been doing so well, like not so well, but well enough that I'm doing good in other things. But now that I'm feel successful, I really am interested in helping younger people. Like even y'all, you're probably like 10 years younger than me, or maybe actually like 6-7 years younger. But like when I saw the NIL thing, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I want to be a part of this opportunity to help student athletes. Like I wish we could have done more, but I know like the season went on and it's kind of hard. And then I just saw in the newspaper, UM is kind of in hot water for some, I don't know how hot the water is, but you know, NIL stuff. So like, I'm cool, but I just want to help. And I'm like, you know, very education focused. I'm a big believer that the system of education is a giant failure. People don't learn anything valuable in school. Like, I'm not saying that as blanket statement, but I'm just saying the cost of education towards what you are able to do with your degree, you know, is not, it doesn't make any sense. And my grandfather was big on that. He would say, how come inflation has gone at this rate, but the cost of tuition has gone at that rate? And we used to talk about it. So, you know, it is an important thing to me. I know I've been rambling on and on, but that's how I got into my business, Ibis Prep. And now I'm at the point now where, like, I'm just trying to grow the business, grow the brand, get on as many shows like this and just kind of talk with people. I know, Ryan, your girlfriend, I hope she's still your girlfriend. She worked with us for, I think, chemistry or something. Like, we can really help with any subject. I have Simran, who just graduated from University of Miami, who's like brilliant, super amazing. And she's helped me network and hire a bunch of UM students. So I really have seen out most of my vision. Trust me, I got a lot of things, you know, down the tunnel. But most of what I've planned out, I've seen through, which was being that conduit between college students and high school students. So college students teach the SAT, or being that conduit between graduate students and college students in the LSAT, the GMAT, or GRE, or being that like moonlighting opportunity. Like, I have a lot of people that work for me as attorneys or financial advisors who love moonlighting for me because I pay them a good salary and it's fun and la la la. So like, things are working out as planned. It's kind of crazy. I've never really like told this entire story of my business. Yeah, man. I gotta get on more podcasts.
You should, bro. You're good at it.
Now that's actually, you know, it's kind of like a story of triumph, you know, a bunch of things coming at you and you just kept fighting through and made it work and made it, you know, a successful business. And you have helped out, you know, with NIL. We've done, you know, a good amount of, you know,
a good amount so far, bro.
I want to say that too. Andrew's been our longest sponsor on our show. You know what I mean? So like, he's definitely giving back, helping out NIL and everything. So I mean, he's a great guy. So I would, you know, tell anybody who needs tutoring to go check out Ibis Prep 100%.
And you know, in the future we can, you know, work on that. Like, man, I'm a businessman by definition. So whatever y'all are doing, I know you guys are playing football. Are we at the point yet where we're gonna talk about football?
Yeah, no, for sure. Let's get to it. Let's get to it.
You guys don't have to get too personal, but I always wonder what, you know, what's your plans are. You know, I know you're going to the league, right, Derek?
Yeah. I just know I'm with the New England Patriots now, so I leave, you know, next Thursday, and I'm out there for, you know, 7 weeks. So I'm just waiting on that and, you know, trying to take advantage of my opportunity.
Yeah, they got a pretty good coach out there, right?
The best of all time. Best of all time. So I'm definitely excited to learn from him and learn from those guys in the building.
Man, I can't believe I get to ask you questions because, man, I was a huge fan of you at Houston, bro. You were doing crazy things. And then, you know, at UM, like, injury, that kind of ended your season. Yeah. Sucked. But what's the difference between Houston and Miami playing those two schools?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I had a good time playing at both of those schools, right? But I feel like Miami definitely has a, you know, stronger history. You know, Houston has definitely won games, has Heisman Trophy winners, won a Big 12, stuff like that. But it's nothing like playing in Miami, bro. Like, just because, you know, all the support you get, right? If you like the hottest show in town, like, everybody, you know, everybody loves the Dolphins and the Heat and all that. But, you know, the Hurricanes are the main attraction. So, like, just coming to South Florida and seeing how they do it, how the fans get down, how the games are, like, it was great. I couldn't ask for anything more.
And did you – I mean, it was a tough decision because you could have came out a year earlier, right?
Bro. So I was telling a story to my girlfriend, my family, a couple of days ago. It was like 2018, I had a really good season, and I was thinking about going pro. And like, looking back on it, I probably could have went pro, probably would have gotten back within a year. But, you know, I decided to come back in 2019 and redshirted and come to Miami. And even I was in Miami 2020, I was playing good enough to get drafted, right? So I was playing good enough. We had a pretty good season. And if you asked me week 7, week 8, was I coming back? It was hell no. You know what I mean? So, like, I was thinking about going pro then. And, you know, but things happen. I felt like I had more to take. You know, I got tore my ACL, my meniscus in 2020. So it kind of, I want to say forced me because I wanted to come back as well, but kind of forced me to come back and do another year. And once you go through injury, everybody knows to play football. You get hurt, it's like, okay, I got hurt last year. There's no way I'm going to get hurt again. You know what I mean? Like, God, I'm going to get hurt again. And then you come back, you play really 2.5 games, and then you hurt your shoulder. So it's like a lot of things. It's about like, I'm so like blessed for opportunity to even go to NFL now. I just signed my contract, sent it back the other day. And it's crazy though. I'm still playing football, and I didn't, you know, had, you know, 4 to 5 major surgeries. So I'm still blessed.
How's your body feel?
I feel good. Yeah, I feel good. I feel pretty good just rehabbing.
I feel like Adam Schefter right now, bro.
You said what?
I feel like Adam Schefter right now. Like, I'm at the office.
Nah, he's great. Nah, I feel good. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And what about you, Ryan? Are you playing ball still?
Yeah, you know, I got I actually have 2 more years of eligibility here left at Miami. So, you know, I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall off. You know, I'm going to milk this thing. As much as I could get out of it, I'm going to get, you know, I'll get my master's, things like that.
You're still playing on the team right now?
Yep, I am. And
when did the spring game, or did it happen?
It happened already. It happened
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I was out of town, man. I'm a little bit like, for the first time, not the first time, but like a little bit, I need to catch up on everything. But how'd they look at the spring game?
So at the beginning of the spring, you know, obviously new coaches, new staff, you're learning new
things. I've been a huge Cristobal ball fan forever, man. I'm hype about this.
You know, when I first came to Miami in 2019, that was Diaz's first year. I remember hearing some fans, there's always this buzz on like some guy named Mario Crisp. I didn't know who he was. There was always these fans tweeting and saying stuff. Why didn't we hire Mario and just things like that? So his name's been around Miami. Like, I know he played here. I know he coached here and things like that. I know all of that. But like, his name's been around. Like, they wanted him as a coach like long ago. I didn't know all that.
Even when they hired Mark Richt, he was the leading candidate. And then Rick kind of came in at the last second, like, oh, I'm throwing my hat into the ring. And they're like, oh, yeah, Mark Richt. Like, he's had such an illustrious time. But I think if they didn't hire Rick then, they would have hired Cristobal.
I didn't even know any of this.
Yeah, and then I think by the time they went to hire, I'm speculating here, Diaz, Cristobal was kind of like doing so good at Oregon, and he kind of, you know, felt maybe a little slighted, like they didn't give it to him, or I don't know. But I really like having a UM guy, because y'all know that's how UM has always done it, with recruiting local. I know you guys aren't local, but there's so much talent here, and then you see all that talent go to like Alabama, LSU, Georgia.
Yeah. I'll say this. I think Cristobal came at the perfect time, just because, you know, what the president, AD, and all the boosters are doing to give them all the resources they need. Like, it's always the right time to come to go to the job. And maybe the other couple guys that took the job, you know, a couple years ago, it wasn't the right time as far as like the program. And they, you know, they maybe needed more support and all that. So like, I think he came at the perfect time to see it.
Miami's a tough, like, I remember when I was in graduate school, it was like everyone wanted to fire Al Golden. They were flying an airplane over, fire out, go to their chair to get this. Like,
in my mind, crazy.
You perform well, and I love you, but you know when you struggle.
And you talked about that a lot. When in Miami, it really is like no other place. When you're on, like everybody, I mean, it. Like he said earlier, you know, there's the Heat, there's the Dolphins, there's things like that. But when you're on, the city loves you in Miami. They love the Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah,
the complete opposite. When you're down, man, it is bad. It's bad. I remember we 2019 season, we lost a few games, and me, Romeo Finley, and Gilbert, we were about to go somewhere in Coconut Grove, where GB's from. We were about to go, you know, his side of town, and we all had like hurricane stuff on, and we GB's like, hold up, he's like, hey, turn your stuff inside out. Turn your stuff inside out, bro. We can't be seen with that stuff on right now. Like, they're going to be hot, you know.
They give you a piece of their mind for sure about how they should be running the offense and defense. Like, yeah. Man, for me, my earliest memories are like, man, I grew up in the best era. Like, Edrin James, Santana Moss, Ken Dorsey. Yes. What's the kick returner? That was my favorite player.
Devin Hester?
Yeah, Devin Hester, man. Yes. Like, electrifying. And at least in the NFL, it kind of, like, diminished the kick return.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It's harder to, you know, get them off now because they moved it up. And because it's – the kick return is more dangerous playing football. A lot of injuries happen on kick return. People don't know that, so.
I want to ask you, what was your favorite moment like of all like things you experienced with the Miami Hurricanes, you said you've been to the Orange Bowl, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
So the Orange Bowl, you know, I don't know if you went to the Notre Dame game, like any moment, what is your favorite moment being a Miami Hurricane fan?
There's so many. I mean, as like an adult fan, like partaking in the activity, it was the year, I think it was 2013, we beat Florida. And it was like, we rarely play the Gators. And like, I have always grown up despising the Gators. There's something called the Gator Flop, which is a year they had a quarterback who was going for the Heisman. And like, they were just smoking Miami. And then Miami got the ball back, but they wanted to give the quarterback more statistics to win the Heisman or whatever. So they flop and just let Miami score a touchdown. And like, I don't know, for some reason, even my grandma would tell me about the Gator Flop. So I always hated Miami, or I'm sorry, like Miami hated the Gators. And that year, 2013, was like just being in the student section and all the mayhem and winning the game. It was an ugly game. We went like 13-6, but that was probably my best memory as like a adult fan. My best memory as a kid, without a doubt, was I guess it's always been wide right, but I think it was actually wide left my year. And like I'm Jewish, so I had a bar mitzvah that year, and you know, like all the Miami Hurricane stuff was going on, and that year we played Florida State. I had like a baseball game in the afternoon, like all these activities, but game comes down to the wire, my whole family's in there watching, and like Florida State field goal kicker comes and just chunks it. Oh man, I'll remember that like it was, you know, yesterday. And then of course I remember on the alternative, the penalty, Ohio State overtime game. And I remember Willis McGahee, his knee snapping on live TV. Like that was crazy. But like, yeah, man, that's something, dear, like, you could definitely take, you know, motivation in Willis McGahee. No one thought that he was gonna really be able to run again. Then he gets drafted and has a great career. So like, yeah, yeah, man, I hear you that if you would have came out a few years ago, you would have got drafted. But man, I'm definitely someone who believes in things happening for a reason. And like, yeah, the story would be that much better when you know you're starting quarterback. And yeah, good stuff, man.
Absolutely appreciate that.
Yeah. So one of the last things I kind of want to ask is, what do you think about, you know, crystal ball? And I want you to give a prediction for this season. I'm not going to say anything because I'm part of the team, but I want you to give me your prediction. I want you to just say what you think.
I mean, I'm just not going to give you a prediction. I'm going to give you an expectation. Win the ACC in a national championship. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it.
Hey, man, who's the schedule? Who we got in the schedule this year? Please don't play with Alabama again. That's like a tough way to end the season.
No Alabama. You got A&M.
And we play Clemson as well.
I'm a big hit fan. You know, I travel with the team. I've traveled in recent years to Dallas to see us get smoked by LSU. I traveled to the ACC championship game, and I put like $500 on the Hurricanes, and we were down like 38-3 or something. So, yeah, I'd like to have a, you know, a better season.
For sure. It will.
I wish you could keep playing. Like, bro, I'm a huge fan of quarterbacks like you. You know what I'm saying? That
yeah.
And pass. So I was hoping that, you know, you're going to have a Heisman year. I think I might have actually put a bet on you to win the Heisman at the beginning. No, that's what I literally told people. People were like, oh, what are you? You're sponsoring the show. I'm like, dude, this guy's going to win the Heisman. And this is going to be great. And he's going to be on air saying,
yeah.
So like,
I was prep. Yep.
Still count on you to really blow up and have a great career so that I can have that early footage of you supporting. Sure.
Appreciate it, bro. I got you.
This has been awesome, guys. I really appreciate you.
One thing we like to do for like all our guests, like if you could give any kind of advice, it could be, doesn't have to be about anything, but anything you want to talk about, like life advice, you know, goal setting, just anything that you can give to our audience.
I was asked this question recently. I don't know if I'm having deja vu, but the same answer I'll give is, no matter where you are in life, just keep going, just keep pushing. We're all in different places and different spaces. You can't look at the person left of you or the person right of you and see what they have and wish that was you. You just got to be where you are and keep pushing forward, and day by day, inch by inch, make the best decisions and put in that work, and things are going to work out. My grandfather always said this to me. As long as you're committed to working hard, things are going to work out just fine.
I like that.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Sure.
I like that a lot. Well, hey, we appreciate you, Andrew, for coming on. We appreciate your support.
One second. I just want to show y'all. I got some super gear right here. I got this jacket. If it ever snows in Miami, I got this jacket. I got this jacket.
Oh, yeah, that one's hard.
At the
yeah, that's hard.
Then this one I wear all the time. This one, time the starter jacket, the Miami starter jacket, yeah.
Vintage, so hard.
Yeah, I got so much gear, and like, it really was my grandfather, so you know that's special for me. What else? Just a little football, man. That's my good luck football.
Yes, sir. It's tough.
Cool, man. You know, I mean, I cannot say I'm gonna be a Patriots fan, but I'll definitely be rooting for you.
Appreciate it, brother.
for sure. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming on, Andrew. We appreciate your support. To everybody that listened in, we thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the King Ragone Show. We'll see y'all next time.